star Redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear, yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Let's all shake hands. Alrighty, on the second verse, page number 20. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. On the last verse. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who believe are saved from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We'll get started right in the message tonight. I've got several things I want to share with you. And I don't expect you to turn everywhere that I'm going to give you tonight, but I would like for you to have a pen and write down the references. I want to begin in the book of Jonah, but I'd like for you to begin in the book of Matthew, Jonah chapter 1. And some people call things that they wouldn't necessarily fight over or split over or things that are of not of the utmost importance, they call them pantheology. Anybody ever heard that term before, pantheology? Pantheology means that they'll just all pan out when they get to heaven. You know, I believe that's true with some things, and others I just don't believe that to be the truth. I want to speak to you tonight from Psalm 22, but I don't want to turn there immediately. We'll get there. I have a different subject I'd like to talk about, and I would like to. I told you I would do this, and I want to give a little more time than I intended to begin with on the thought that it was Wednesday when the Lord was crucified. And most people, well, I won't say most, but a lot of people still celebrate the Lord's death on Friday, Good Friday. And that goes back hundreds, if not thousands of years. It was started by the Catholics. That's a Catholic movement. As a matter of fact, I looked up a few different links I'd be happy to share with you. I shared them with my wife so that they're easy to pass on. If you'd like for me to share those with you, I'd be happy to do that. I've got them where we can just pass them along real quickly. But the Good Friday is not found in the Scripture. And I want to show you why I feel like this is worth speaking about. I want to show you why I feel like that this is something that we need to have a good understanding of. I want to begin in the book of Jonah, and I hope that you'll write down Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. This was an Old Testament prophecy, and God used a man by the name of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, to speak of his resurrection. The Bible says in Jonah 1 and verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish." Now listen to this. 3 days and three nights. It doesn't say 2 days and two nights. It doesn't say a half a day and a half and two nights. It says 3 days and three nights. Now here's what I've learned. I've learned that when God says something, it's important. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is true. Every word of God is trustworthy. And when God says something, that settles it. When God says in His Word, and God's prophecy teaches us that Jesus was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Now that's significant to me if that's what the Word of God says. Because if it was any other thing, then what would that make the Scripture? It would make the Scripture inaccurate. The Scripture would be broken. Most of the people that would celebrate on Friday, Good Friday, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ have no problem, and they're just like, well, we can't explain it, we don't understand it, but and we acknowledge there's no way that there's 3 days and three nights, but it's okay. And then there's the other side where people can't grasp the Jewish day, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit, and the Jewish calendar and how these events transfolded in the Scripture and how they worked as far as the everyday Jewish life. 3 days and three nights. I'll share that with you as well. Now look with me at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, and I'll share with you how we know that Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17 was a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, His death, how long He would be in the tomb. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40, this is the first New Testament reference we'll look at, and the Bible says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The Scripture is very specific there. Now, not once we have an Old Testament prophecy, and then we have the New Testament prophecy of Jesus Himself. Then I want you to look with me at the book of Mark, Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8. And then just turn there quickly, and then maybe you tie these together, and again, I feel like that when you see something like this in the Scripture, it has significance and it has importance. It's not something we should just look over. The Bible says in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 8, and I want you to look at verse 31. Jesus was teaching, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priest and scribes and be killed. Now, what does the Bible say? And after 3 days, rise again. That's Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Now look with me at chapter 9 and verse 31. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 31, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise, what? The third day. I feel like that's significant, don't you? Then notice with me chapter 10 and verse 34. Mark chapter 10 and verse 34. We're just working our way through the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 10 verse 34, the Bible says, and they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him. Jesus knew exactly what he was up to. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And the Bible says, and shall kill him. And then the Bible says, and the third day he shall rise again. Now in the book of John, John chapter 2 and verse 19. John chapter 2, verse 19. And again, I'm walking through the scripture because the scripture teaches very clearly a very important principle that Jesus was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. In John chapter 2 and verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in how many days? 3 days, I will raise it up. 3 days, he was speaking of his resurrection, that his temple would be raised up. Now, I want you to turn back with me, and the reason why I didn't share this one when we were reading the book of Matthew is because this one is from a totally different perspective. This one is from the perspective of the enemy. This is from the perspective, Matthew chapter 27, of the Roman side, of the soldier side. Matthew chapter 27, and look with me at verse 63. Matthew 27 and verse number 63. The Bible says, saying, sir, we remember that sir, we remember that that deceiver said, and I even hate to read that, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. What did Jesus promise? Did he promise a day and a half? Did he promise a day and two half a days? He did not. He says, after 3 days, the Bible says, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the, how many days? Third day. Lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Now, I want you to look at this important tie here. This is absolutely essential for us to understand that if it is anything less than 3 days, the resurrection is not validated. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he validated the resurrection when he prophesied that it would be 3 days. Notice again, verse 64, the last part, he said, he is risen from the dead. So let's back up just a little bit more. Let me go to where it says, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, here's what they would say, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. It would be tragic if it didn't happen exactly the way the Lord said. His timing is very important. It's very crucial. Well, let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Would you do that? Pray with me. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to teach your word tonight. And Lord, I'm very grateful that we have all these verses that help us to understand that you died for us. And you were buried and you were in the grave 3 days, three nights, and then you resurrected from the grave. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand the truths that I'll share now, and I ask God that you'd help us to apply them and benefit from them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the thought of Good Friday. I want to remind you that the Jewish day begins at what time? Can anybody tell me? Not their work day, but the actual day. David made it clear for us in the Psalms. A lot of times it's confusing when David, he would say that he would seek the Lord in the evening and at morning and at noon. Doesn't that sound odd? In evening and then in the morning and at noon. The Jewish day began at 6 o'clock in the evening. So in other words, their work day was finished at 6 p.m. This is very significant. At 6 p.m., that was the 12th hour of the day. At 6 p.m., their day was finished. Their day was accomplished. So the very next moment at 6:01, it began the next day. Of course, they would go home, they would go get their rest, and then they would prepare for the workload that they would face beginning at 6 a.m. the next morning, which would begin their work day. At 6 a.m., that was the first hour of the day. That was when they would begin to toil and to labor and to work. So that was the first hour of the day, was 6 o'clock. So if we're, what time is it right now? So if we were on the Jewish time frame, if we were on the Jewish mindset, what would today be? Can anybody tell me? Thursday. That's exactly right, because anything after 6 o'clock would be the next day. Okay, so I want you to see if you look at the Jewish day and think about when Jesus died. When did Jesus die? We know that it was somewhere around 3 o'clock or a little after three, because we know that it was dark on the cross from noon until 3. And the scripture's clear there. So it was sometime after 3 o'clock that Jesus died. He gave up the ghost. And he died on Wednesday before Thursday came to pass. Sometime he died on that day on Wednesday before 6 o'clock. The reason why we know that is because the Roman soldiers came by, and if there was anybody left alive on the cross, they'd take what I've read, all the scholars I've read, one specific book. I can't even begin to describe to you what I've read and what I've seen and what I've come to understand, but literally they would take a sledgehammer and break the legs of anyone that was left on the cross, and they could no longer push themselves up to get air, so they would almost instantly die. I want to talk about that in just a moment. We know that that didn't happen to the Lord because he was dead before 6 o'clock. He had already gave up the ghost. He cried out, "It is finished." Not, "I am finished," but "It is finished." The work of redemption, God's plan of salvation, was finished. It was complete. So if Jesus did die on Friday, then we understand that it was only a partial day that he was dead on Friday, that he had died on Friday. It was just for just a matter of a few hours that he would have been dead on Friday. So if he died, let's say at 3:15, it would have been 2 hours and 45 minutes, because the end of the day would have been at 6 o'clock. Everybody following me there? So after 6 o'clock, that day would have been finished. It would have been just a partial day on Friday. He would have been dead the entire day on Saturday. And then we realize that, and we'll look at the verse in just a little bit, before daylight, while it was still dark, before dawn, the ladies went to put spices and to anoint the body of Jesus on the first day of the week, and he was already gone. So at the best case scenario, you have a small portion of a day, you have an entire day, and then not even before their day began on their work day on the first day of the week. So there's no possible way that the Lord Jesus Christ could have been dead and in the tomb for 3 days. And then certainly not 3 nights either. The best possible scenario is only 2 nights. One thing that confuses people when it comes to this thought is they don't understand that during this specific time of the year, there were 2 Passovers, 2 holy days, 2 very specific days that the children of Israel, they literally worshiped the Lord. These were holy days. Now I want you to look with me in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 21, and all this is so important. Deuteronomy chapter 21, I want you to see this. Deuteronomy chapter 21, and then we're going to look in the book of Leviticus. Deuteronomy chapter 21, I know this is deep. I know this is a little heavy, a little weighty for a Wednesday night, but we're going to break it down into days in just a second, and I feel like it'll be a little lighter and a little easier, but just bear with me for a moment so you can understand what took place. First, in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23, you see what the importance was. You see why the Lord Jesus Christ could not hang on the cross past 6 o'clock. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 23, his body shall not. I hope that you'll mark that. And this is talking about someone that was put to death on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. Would you mark that?
that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. And understand that the Lord Jesus Christ died the most despicable death that the Jewish people could possibly imagine. He died not only as a criminal, he died as someone who was cursed by God. And truly, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he was cursed by God. I don't say that lightly. I don't say that easily. He died as a curse for you and I. He died as a curse for my sin and for your sin. Then the Bible says, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to write down a few days now. Let's start with Wednesday, okay? Let's start with Wednesday. Wednesday, that's today. Oh, what a beautiful day. And I'm going to walk you through the scripture so you can understand it perfectly clear. Wednesday. And remember, the Jewish day, how it worked, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., that was their work day, but their day actually began 6 p.m. But on Wednesday, this was the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. That meant on Tuesday night, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. It was sometime in the middle of the night that he was betrayed by Judas. And then it was this day that he went to a trial of mockery, I should say. And this was a very difficult day. So I want to read to you Luke chapter 23 and verse 54. This is an important verse. Luke 23 and verse 54. You don't have to turn there. The scripture says, and that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. We understand just before the crucifixion of Jesus, they were getting ready or they were preparing for a Sabbath day. And I'll tell you about that day in just a moment. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 42, you might want to write this one down. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, and that's the key word in Mark chapter 15 and verse 42, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Now, remember, I mentioned to you just a moment ago, there are two Sabbaths. I have not explained I haven't explained that to you just yet, but we're heading there. In Exodus chapter number 12, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6, this is a very important verse to write down because we're trying to share with you the order of the Jewish month Nisan on the 14th day. That's where we're at, and this is what today would be. And this is all ordered on the month because they're celebrating the month because of Passover. This is what they're celebrating. They're celebrating Passover. So this is the 14th day. I want you to notice what happens. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 6, and ye shall keep it up. It's talking about the lamb, talking about the sacrifice, that the blood would be put above the doorpost for the children of Israel. And ye shall keep it up until here's the key word. You might want to mark it in your Bible, Exodus 12 and verse 6. The 14th day. And let me just encourage you to go ahead and turn there because that verse is a little more important than the ones, they're all important, but for understanding, I want you to tie it to the next reference I'll be going to in just a little bit. But the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, I know I'm taking this verse out of context, but the context is the Passover lamb is being slain. Watch this. The blood of the lamb is being spilt on the 14th day of the month. The timing is absolutely impeccable. God went to the utmost to preserve the Passover in his son, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that it was on Wednesday, the 14th day of the month, not our month, but the Jewish month, the Passover month, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood was shed on the same day that they had celebrated for thousands of years when the Passover lamb's blood was being shed. It is the exact same time that our Savior's blood was being shed on the 14th day of the month. I'll share with you that very clearly in just a moment. What I want you to write down is John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 14, because this ties the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to this 14th day. The Bible says in John 19 and verse 14, and it was the preparation of the Passover. And again, I told you there's two Passovers in this 1 week. Or I'm sorry, not two Passovers. I said it incorrectly. There's two Sabbaths in this week. It was the preparation of the Passover, which was this very specific day. I'm going to tell you about it in just a moment. And about the sixth hour, And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Now we understand that this is John's record of the crucifixion. We find on the same day in John chapter 19 and verse 31, John 19 and verse 31, the Bible says this, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, this was the 14th day, this is the day that the lambs were killed, this is the day that I've been referring to, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day. I hope that you'll mark that in your Bible. Okay? Because we're going to come right back to that. Please take your Bible, turn to John chapter 19 and verse 31. The day after Jesus died was a high day. That's what the scripture says. It was a high day. That's John chapter 19, verse 31. The day after Jesus was put to death, it was a high day. The Bible says, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Now, here's where things are going to start coming together, okay? Now, so far, I hope I haven't lost anybody. We've only been one day, and that's Wednesday. This is the 14th day of the month Nisan. This is the day of preparation. The next day was a high day, is what John said. Okay, everybody following me? Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. And I want to read several verses here. We're going to just start in the beginning in Leviticus chapter 23. And I hope that you're as amazed with this as I am. And you want to talk about, oh, what a Savior. I know Miss Sandy is listening. Oh, what a Savior. Everything is done just exactly perfectly. There's nothing that God does that is by mistake. Everything is in perfect order. Perfect unison. I love what the scripture says. The word of God cannot be broken. Leviticus chapter 23. Now, the Bible says in verse 1, and I'm going to stop when I get to verse 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts, this plural, feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, even these are my feasts, plural. Notice the first one, verse number 3. 6 days shall thou work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Now, I hope that you'll mark that. That was what Saturday was. Saturday was their Sabbath of rest. That was their holy day. That was every day. It was a weekly thing. And maybe you might want to jot there on verse number 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Every one of them were commanded to keep the Sabbath day. We're all familiar with that, right? Now, beginning in verse 4 all the way through verse 7, I want you to see this second Sabbath day that the Lord gave, and it was very specific. They celebrated it one time of year. And this one time of year, when they celebrated this Sabbath day, it was the 14th was the preparation day when the lamb was slain. The 15th day, which is the day we're getting ready to look at, was the following day, and it was a high day. It was a holy day. It was a day that they celebrated just as if it was their Saturday or their Sabbath. Look with me at verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. The Bible says in verse 6, and on the 15th day, would you mark that? And this is verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. And then verse 7 is so important. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. That was their Thursday. That was their 15th day. That was for us, it would be Thursday. It was the next day, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. That servile means they can't be a servant. They can't do any type of manual labor that day. So you have day 14 and you have day 15. That is highlighted here in the scripture. And this was a holy day. This was a high day. The Bible says in verse 1, a holy convocation. These are my feasts. And I'm going to show you that again in the New Testament now. So on Thursday, it wasn't a regular Sabbath. On Thursday, it was a high Sabbath. It was a high day. And that's what John told us in John chapter 19, verse 31. It was called the first day of unleavened bread. I hope you mark that in the scripture. The first day of unleavened bread. Now, I want to go to Friday. And this is Friday. And we're talking about the week of crucifixion. We're talking about crucifixion week. Now, so far, we've already visited Wednesday. That's when the lamb's blood was shed. That's when the lamb is put to death. On Thursday is this high holy day that the legs had to be broken before 6 o'clock. They had to be buried, and they had to be ready for this high and holy day that would follow on Thursday. I want you to see what happens on Friday. On Friday, would you write this down? On Friday, the women, they go and they buy spices. They go and they prepare to get ready. They don't actually go and prepare the body of Jesus, but they go and buy spices. Now understand, they could not do that if it was the Sabbath day. They could not do that if it was a high and holy day. I'm going to show you this from the scripture. Look with me at Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. There's two verses here that are absolutely key, and I'm going to show these to you. There's two verses. If you'll understand these two verses in the New Testament, you'll understand that there's no other way. This is the only way that it could have happened. And then I'll give you a full summary, and then we'll be finished for tonight. We're already out of time. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. Mark 16, verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was passed," you guys believe the scripture? You believe what the Bible says? Okay. "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." Now that is absolutely critical that you understand that the Sabbath has come and it is gone. Which Sabbath? I told you there's two. It is the high Sabbath. It was that holy day that was on Thursday. We are now on Friday, and they're out doing their shopping, getting ready. Now I want you to look with me on Saturday. Now this is their weekly Sabbath. This is their weekly Sabbath. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23 and verse 56, these are the two verses that I want you to connect together. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1, and Luke chapter 23 and verse 56. This is amazing. Luke 23 and verse 56. The Bible says, "And they returned and prepared spices and ointments." And what does the Bible say? "And rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Now I want to stop there for just a moment. And maybe you could go back to Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And I want you to look with me at Luke chapter 23 and verse 56 and get them together so you can compare them. I know this is a little more laborious and this is a little deeper than what we'd normally go on a Bible study, but I need you to see this because the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture is true. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." So according to Mark chapter 16 and verse 1, did they buy the spices before or after the Sabbath? After. It had already passed. And here's the reason why this is true. Because they were not talking about the weekly Sabbath. They were talking about that high and holy day. That high day that happened one time a year during the Passover. During that one specific time, Passover month. And look with me again at Luke chapter 23 and verse 56. Luke 23, 56. "And they returned and prepared spices and ointments." And what does the Bible say? "And rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." So we see that the women rested on their weekly Sabbath, just like they should have if they wouldn't, if they would have went on that Saturday and put the sweet spices on the Lord Jesus that day, they would have been stoned. They would have been put to death because they weren't keeping the Sabbath day. Now, let's get to Sunday. This is where it gets good. On Sunday, we find that when they come to the tomb, he's already gone. Now, the timing is so important. I want you to look at John chapter 20 and verse 1. John chapter 20 and verse 1. I've got two verses and I'll be finished. John chapter 20 and verse 1. I'm going to sum all this up and we're going to go home. In John chapter 20 and verse 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early." What's this next phrase? "When it was yet dark." What that means is their workday hadn't even started. It doesn't matter how you look at it. It doesn't matter how you see it. Sunday is in full swing and the Lord is gone. Before daylight, sometime during the night on Saturday night, sometime from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., sometime from 6 p.m. on Saturday to 6 a.m. on Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from that grave, rolled the stone back, and left that tomb to go about his Father's business. The Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher." Here's the last verse, and here's what we're going to do. You remember our series on Luke chapter 24? You remember how we've been talking about the disciples on the road to Emmaus? Would you turn back there with me again? We've looked at so many verses in Luke chapter 24, and we've just studied there, and we've just held our ground there in Luke chapter 24, and how the Lord Jesus Christ revealed that it was the books of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. Each one of them spoke of him. We've talked about that, but now look with me at verse 21. Luke 24 and verse 21. Let me turn there and get there with you. Luke 24 and verse 21. Okay, before we read the entire verse, I want to give you some context. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, this is very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher bringing the spices. When did they bring them? Bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. Look with me down to verse number 13. Okay, so we've set the context. This is resurrection morning. Look at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day. Would you mark that? That same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. So we're talking about on resurrection day, these disciples were on the road to Emmaus. You say, "Brother Fred, why is that important?" Because I want you now to look with me at verse 21. The Bible says in verse 21, it says, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the," what? "Third day since these things were done." You say, "Brother Fred, what's significant about that?" What is significant about that is this. It was impossible for it to be the third day if Jesus would have died on Friday. Do you see that? It was absolutely impossible. I'm going to sum it up and I'll be finished. You say, "Brother Fred, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?" I'm going to tell you why I'm doing it. I'm doing this because people are going in a different direction. People are going a different way. And I'll never forget the very first semester of Bible college, sitting in the class with Brother Keith Kaiser. Were you there? Did you hear it from Brother Kaiser? I'm telling you what the truth. I mean, my mouth flew open. I'm like, "What in the world?" Never been exposed to it in my life. Never heard it. The truth was expounded to me, and I said, "Wow, it makes perfect sense." Let me explain it to you. Jesus died on Wednesday, somewhere around 3 p.m. So he went into the tomb or into the grave on that evening, the beginning of that day. So here's what I want you to see. From Wednesday night until Thursday night is one day. Do you see it? Wednesday evening to Thursday evening is one day. From Thursday evening to Friday evening is the second day. From Friday evening till Saturday evening is the third day. Wednesday to Thursday, Friday to Saturday. It was exactly three nights in the grave. And then sometime from 6 o'clock on Saturday evening till 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. We do not know when, but we do know that before daylight, before they showed up on the scene, while it was still dark, Jesus was already resurrected. Isn't it wonderful? And you know, when the scripture is as emphatic as it is about this 3 days, and it mentions so many times about 3 days, I just don't feel like it's right to belittle that, do you? No. Let's stand together. We'll pray. You know, it may seem insignificant to you tonight, but I want you to pray for me, because I've taken a stand tonight that you may not even realize I've taken. This is old-time, old-fashioned Bible teaching, Bible doctrine. This is how the old-timers did it. They took the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept, and they drew their doctrine from the Scripture. The idea of Good Friday traces right back to Roman Catholicism. It's dangerous. We don't follow it. I want you to pray for me. Pray that God will give me wisdom and understanding, and pray that God would help me, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the situation is, no matter what, I do not want to ever have the wrong disposition. I want to have the right position, but I want to have the right position with the right disposition. I want both. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I just want our church to realize this is what the Bible teaches. This is what God's Word says. And we got to follow it. Amen? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us to follow you and follow your Word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to love it above all things. Lord, help us to be loyal to it above all things. Help us to do what is right before you. Help us to follow after you now in everything that we say and do. Lord, I ask God that this church would seek to have a Bible-centered, Bible-based belief system. Father, may we be anchored, rooted, and grounded in the Word of God. We ask it all now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to ask you to, as Miss Emma begins to play, if you would, just pray for me. Pray that God would help me to lead this church in the right direction and make important and preach important truths as we've heard tonight. Would you pray that way? Precious Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to follow you. What a joy it is to know you and to love you and to serve you, Lord. I pray, God, tonight that you would help us to be pleasing in your sight. Lord, I pray you'd help us to honor you and honor your word. I ask, God, that you'd help us to be zealous concerning the truth of your word now in Jesus' name. I pray you bless us as we go our way. Help us tomorrow in our soul winning class. We pray that you'd use it in a mighty way. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your son, Jesus, in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. I hope to see you tomorrow evening, 6:30. Look forward to seeing you.